And these power possessors persecuted them because they greatly feared that if everybody lived according to this teaching, even though they themselves could also live very well, all the motives for displaying their power would disappear, thereby depriving them of those impulses, the satisfaction of which tickled their inner god, self-love. And so it came about that during the Council of Kalnuan, its members first laid down the rule that the followers of the teaching of Jesus Christ should abstain on certain days from consuming certain edible products. The initial cause of the institution of fasting was the debate that took place at the Council of Kalnuan between two famous learned men, namely the great Hurtunano and the illustrious Greek philosopher Vegendiadi. The great Hurtunano was the representative of all the followers of the teaching of Jesus Christ who were settled on the shores of the Red Sea, while the philosopher Vegendiadi was the representative of all the followers of that teaching in Greece. The philosopher Vegendiadi was well known for his learning only in his own country, while Hurtunano was famous all over the earth. He was considered the highest authority on the laws of the inner organization of man, and also an authority on the science then called alchemy, not, of course, that science which contemporary people have a notion about and designate by the same name. The famous debate between the great Hurtunano and Vegendiadi arose in the following circumstances. The philosopher Vegendiadi, it seems, affirmed and demonstrated for 2 days that it was absolutely necessary to spread the concept among all the followers of the teachings of Jesus that to kill animals for the purpose of consuming their flesh for food was the greatest sin, and that at the same time meat was very harmful to health, and so on. After the philosopher Vegendiadi, several other representatives ascended the rostrum and spoke for or against his theory. Finally, according to this manuscript, the great Hurtunano, with measured dignity, slowly mounted the rostrum and spoke clearly and calmly in the manner proper to him. He said, "For my part, I fully concur in all the evidence and arguments set forth here by our brother in Christ, the philosopher Vegendiadi. I will even add to all he has said that to cut short other lives merely to stuff one's own belly is an infamy of infamies such as only man is capable of. Had I not also been interested in this question for many years, and had I not reached certain entirely different conclusions, then after all that our brother in Christ, Vegendiadi, has said here, I would not have hesitated a moment, but would have urged and conjured you all not to delay until tomorrow, but without looking behind you to hasten back to your towns and cry aloud in all the public squares, 'Stop, people, stop! Stop eating meat. This practice of yours is not only contrary to all the commandments of God, but is the cause of all your diseases.' As you see, I am not doing this. And I am not doing so only because during my long years of unremitting study of this question, I reached, as I have already told you, an entirely different conclusion. Concerning the definite conclusion I have reached, I can only tell you now that never will there be a time on this earth when all people profess one and the same religion. Hence, in addition to our Christian religion, other religions will always exist, and one cannot be certain that the followers of these other religions will also abstain from consuming meat. But if we cannot now be certain that at some time or other all the people on the earth will abstain from meat, then we must now take quite other, more practicable measures as regards consuming meat, because if one part of mankind eats meat and the other part does not, then, according to the results of my experimental investigations, the greatest evils would befall the people who abstain from its consumption. My detailed experiments have shown me, for example, that among people who do not eat meat, but who nevertheless live among those who do, the formation of what we call willpower ceases. My experiments also proved to me that although people's bodily health improves when they do not consume meat. As long as such abstainers are in contact with those who do consume it, their psychic state inevitably deteriorates, even if the state of their organism continues to improve. Thus, for people who abstain from meat, a good result can be obtained only if they live in complete isolation. As regards those who constantly consume meat or products containing the element called echnoch, although the state of their organism seems to undergo no change, their psyche, especially its chief traits, sometimes designated by the general word character, gradually loses its positive and moral qualities and changes for the worse beyond all recognition. I must tell you that I reached these conclusions from experiments I was able to conduct over a period of many years, thanks to two good philanthropic men, namely the rich shepherd Alaek Lenocha, who helped me with his money, and the scientist respected by us all, El Kuna Nasa, who let me use his remarkable invention, an apparatus called Rostodasok. With this remarkable apparatus, I was able for several years to keep under daily observation the general state of the organism of thousands of people who lived under test conditions at the expense of the Good Shepherd, Alaek Lenocha. May our Creator multiply his flocks. Well then, thanks to this experimental research of mine, I became fully convinced that if people continue to consume meat for their food, it will be very bad for them, and that on the other hand, if only some of them abstained, no good would come of this either. And so thereafter I devoted myself entirely to finding out what could be done for the future welfare of the majority of people. At the outset, I categorically established the following facts. The first, that people accustomed for so many centuries to consuming meat for their food would never, with their weak wills, be able to make themselves renounce it and overcome this criminal tendency of theirs. And the second, that even if people decided not to eat meat, and in fact kept to their decision for a certain time, eventually even losing this habit, they would never be able to abstain from eating it for a long enough period to acquire a total aversion to it. And they would be unable to do so, because never on earth will it occur that all people have the same religion or form a single government. And without these conditions, there can never exist any suggestive, prohibitive, penal, or other kind of compulsory influence common to all, thanks to which people who are easily stimulated by example, or envy, or by some magnetic influence, might be able to keep a resolution forever once it is taken. Notwithstanding these two facts, to my mind incontestable, and taking them as the basis of my subsequent investigations, I persevered in my search for some possible way out of the unhappy situation confronting people. And again, of course, I was only able to continue these investigations on a large scale thanks to the inexhaustible wealth of the herdsman Alaek Lenocha and the wonderful apparatus of the wise El Kunan Nasa. These last researches of mine made it clear to me that although people's psyche does indeed deteriorate from the constant introduction into the organism of the substance echnoch, yet it is only at certain times of the year that this substance has a particularly harmful effect. So, my brethren in Christ, from all I have said, and chiefly from my latest observations, made daily during a whole year on numbers of people, and which clearly showed me that the intensity of the harmful effect of the substance echnoch increases at certain times of the year, I can only now make bold to express my personal opinion that if there were to be spread among the followers of the teachings of Jesus Christ the custom of abstaining at certain designated times of the year from the use of products in the formation of which the substance echnoch plays a dominant part, such a custom could conceivably be observed and would bring the people a real benefit. As my numerous alchemical investigations have shown me, the substance echnoch participates in the formation of all living organisms without exception, wherever they may exist, on the surface of the earth, within its depths, in the water, in the atmosphere, and so on. This substance is also present in everything contributing to the formation of these organisms, as, for example, in the amniotic fluid of every species of pregnant female, and in such products as milk, eggs, caviar, and so on. The ideas expressed by the great Hurtunano so astounded and agitated all the members of the Council of Calnuan that the commotion made it impossible for him to continue. So he was obliged to abandon his speech and descend from the rostrum. The manuscript stated further that by the end of the day, the members of the Council of Calnuan had come to a unanimous decision to specify, with the help of the great Hurtunano, those times of the year when the effects of the substance Echnoch were most harmful for people, and to spread widely among the followers of Jesus Christ the custom of fasting at those times, that is, of abstaining from products containing the substance Echnoch, injurious for them. With this, the Judeo-Essenian manuscript ended. As you can see, the creators of this custom intended that the followers of the Christian religion should abstain at certain fixed times of the year from the products containing this substance harmful for their health and particularly for their psyche. But the sorry Russian Orthodox Christians, who consider themselves faithful followers of this great religion and also fast, eat the flesh of fish during their fast. That is, those very organisms which, according to the research of the great Hurtunano, contain that harmful substance, Echnoch, and it was precisely to guard them against that substance that this wise and salutary custom was created. And here, my boy, I concluded my conversation with that young Persian.